Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ. And our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Our special guest today is Dr. Harold Coing, MD, MHSC. I know Dr. Coing through my certification process in moral injury and spirituality in healthcare at Duke University's Center of Theology and Health, and I fell in love with him since then. I personally consider him a light worker and an angel and agent of universe both. He is someone who helped reintegrate spirituality into mainstream healthcare by making a space for the soul in medicine, both personally and professionally, and also brought a spiritual understanding to those in suffering in and out of healthcare space. On a professional view and his academic background, Dr. Coing received his undergraduate education at Stanford University and medical school training in University of California, San Francisco, and geriatric medicine and psychiatry training and Master of Health Science degree in clinical research from Duke University. He is board certified in general psychiatry and formerly board certified in family medicine, geriatric medicine, and geriatric psychiatry. Dr. Coing now serves as a professor of psychiatry and associate professor of medicine at Duke University Health System. He has over 800 scientific peer-reviewed academic publications, books, and book chapters. Dr. Coing is the lead author of the Handbook of Religion and Health, 3rd edition, 2024, with Professor Tyler Vanderweil from Chan School of Public Health at Harvard University and John Raymond Pettit from Department of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. He is editor-in-chief of International Journal of Psychiatry in Medicine and has also been in the news and was published at New York Times and NPR. In 2022 and 2024, Dr. Coing was ranked number one in the world among highly ranked scholars in academic discipline of spirituality and health and 29th in psychiatry. In June 2023, Dr. Coing was ranked 10th in the world by Research.com in overall category of best social science and human scientists and was ranked 7th best in the United States. Welcome to our podcast, Dr. Coing.
Thank you, Dr. KK. It's a pleasure for me to be participating with you here.
It's an honor and pleasure and a gift for us as well and for our podcast listener to share and hear your wisdom, you know, and experiences. So for me, it was even difficult to read over all your accomplishment and achievement. And I didn't need that personally because I know you through the certification process that I had at Duke University. What a wonderful, I mean, person and human being, intelligent, you know, and you are. And I just want to share you as a gift to our podcast listener. And I'm glad and appreciate that you are here today.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Dr. KK.
Yeah, so I always, you know, ask our guest speakers that regardless of how I introduce them, how do you like the world to know you and what do you like the people remember about you?
Well, I'd like people to remember that I did work in the area of spirituality and health and did a lot of research in that area. And that is what I've kind of like to be known for with regard to the findings concerning the connections between religious faith and mental health and physical health as well.
Yeah, you definitely are one of the pioneers, you know, in this field. And I'm glad that somehow, you know, our path crossed each other and I found you. So that's one of the magic of the universe that I believe in. So to your opinion, Dr. Coing, and if I may, you call Harold. So what is spirituality to your opinion and the difference between the religion and the spirituality? I mean, the pros and cons and the differential diagnosis, as the physicians are saying.
Yes, so that is a very complex question, but I'm certainly willing to give it a try. Spirituality is a bit broader than religion, but I, the way I use it, I pretty much see them as being very similar, and that the way I would define spirituality would be having some connection to the transcendent with regard to however a person understands the transcendent. That may be God in Western traditions, that may be ultimate truth and reality, that might be Lord Krishna in other traditions. So again, I see spirituality as similar to religion, and that there's a lot of overlap, but there does need to be some connection to the transcendent in order to give it some kind of substance. Because these days, Dr. KK, spirituality has become so broad that it's become meaningless. And so, I'm as a scientist, I need to have a term that has some level of, of substance that is going to be unique, something I can measure, something I can quantify, and something that I can look at the relationship with various other health outcomes that are also quantified. So that's kind of how I view the term spirituality. I do believe that spirituality applies across different religions, and that if anything, I would think that spirituality is emphasizing the personal aspects of religion, again, having to do with a connection in some way to the transcendent in however a person understands the transcendent based on their culture and background.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I completely, I mean, ditto with you on that. I remember the work of David Hawkins on transcendent to higher level of consciousness, and spirituality to me also personally is a one more level advanced than the religion. Religion is the practice that, I mean, that people have created for themselves to become a spiritual, but not necessarily they transcend through that. So we see so many people are by the habit they are practicing their religions, but not necessarily they have transcended or transformed. And also I see spiritual people that claim, as you mentioned, they are spiritual, but still that level of transcendence is still is left to happen. And definitely the meaning, and the purpose of being a spiritual has to be with it. For someone that has had a near-death experience myself, and a glimpse of afterlife, and not being religious but becoming a spiritual afterward, this really makes sense to me what you mentioned.
Good.
Yeah, and I just want to bring, because we are in the healthcare system, so, and we are also in the coaching, industries, and I'm trying to bring a spirituality also to the coaching practice as well as a person whole care and for the mental health and for the moral injuries. That take me back to ask you this question first. What is the moral, or what are the moral injuries and the role of a spirituality in caring a whole for the whole person and for the mental health?
So, moral injury is a new term that came out of the military, actually, and it evolved among veterans coming back from combat operations with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and then suffering also feelings of guilt and shame and other negative feelings because of what they did there. In combat, or what they saw. So moral injury involves three different aspects. One is the transgression of moral values. In other words, a person doing things that is bad, and now they're feeling, guilt and shame over it. It also involves witnessing others transgress moral values and not doing anything about it, even if you can. And then there is the witnessing of moral transgressions and not being able to do anything about it. That's another aspect of moral injury. And then finally, it's being the victim of someone who has transgressed their moral values and has actually affected you as a person because of what they've done. So those are the different aspects of moral injury. And spirituality plays a big role in that. All major religions have emphasized a certain set of moral values, and they're very similar across all five major religions. And even different philosophies seem to be, very consistent in terms of these moral standards and moral values. And so religions have developed ways to help people to deal with transgressing their moral values. And this might involve confession and then doing something to make up for the deed, or the transgression, maybe apologizing or doing something good in the world to make up for the bad in the world that they may have done or may have witnessed. So again, religions have ways of dealing with moral transgressions that have worked for thousands of years. And so that is why I kind of emphasize the religious aspects of moral injury that include a person's struggles, religious and spiritual struggles, with regard to feeling punished by by God or the transcendent, feeling deserted by their faith community, feeling that God doesn't care or can't make a difference, and then an entire loss of faith as a result of this traumatic experience of transgressing moral values, particularly during high stress situations, as occurs in combat. But it can also occur outside of combat in medical settings, particularly during COVID-19, when there was, doctors had to make life and death decisions and nurses had to carry them out. And they were feeling bad about that because they didn't realize they didn't go into medicine and nursing to let people die. And so that's an issue. Also, first responders, police, and emergency medical technicians who are exposed to death and dying all the time and not being able to do anything about it, they develop these memories that need to be resolved. Otherwise, it causes all sorts of emotional and mental health problems.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really like this new term, moral injuries, and I always was thinking that life is a series of stress and trauma rehearsals, either traumas with big T's or little T's. But just the word trauma is creating a little bit anxiety for me because it says, "Oh, trauma." So what am I gonna do with this trauma? But the moral injuries, it seems that it's a little lighter, vocabulary for that, and especially when you bond with the spirituality and the values, it seems from the coaching point of view, it's something that people can use their own faith, especially the praying, the meditation, and to manage those conflicts that have been arise, because of those situations. And I'm going back to the leadership now, as we are as coaches, working with leaders, and the human leadership is very popular, the terminology that these days we are talking about it. And I just wanted to ask you, what is, to your opinion, the relationship between the humanity and the spirituality and the role of spirituality in human leadership?
Yeah, so being a just leader is very important, both in terms of the outcomes and in terms of the people that a person is leading. To be able to lead in a way that is effective and is kind and is respectful of other people, and having goals that are morally correct. I think that always works out the best in terms of even financially, it works out better when you're being fair and just, and to both the people you're leading as well as to your customers and things that, or your patients. So I think it does play spirituality does play a very important role because it provides guidelines for character that are very important for leaders to have good character.
Yeah, the character and the charisma and they become actually the role model, you know, for their follower, for their employees or for their clients. So we always practice in our in our coaching, in our huddles, that as coaches we need to be the role model for our clients. That and also I think that's the same as the leaders who are spiritual, they bring the value and meaning of believing to something higher and bigger than themselves, and they can bring the team or the organization or the people with themselves toward that meaning and the bigger purpose. And
Yes.
I'm hearing another new terminology these days, which I very much love it, and that's the human flourishing. So as you mentioned that you have been working with Tyler Vanderbilt, so just can you tell us a little bit about that? What is human flourishing?
Sure, Dr. KK. Human flourishing is a term that got popularized by Tyler Vanderweel, a professor in the Harvard School of Public Health. He wrote an article in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences back in 2017 when he talked about human flourishing being a goal that public health leaders and healthcare professionals could all kind of agree on across different cultures. And so he defined human flourishing by five or six different aspects. The first one had to do with happiness and life satisfaction. That was the first dimension. The next was having meaning and purpose. The next one was having character, being moral in terms of that. And then there was also close social relationships, and then physical and mental health. These were all aspects of flourishing. And then finally, in order to maintain flourishing over time, he mentioned the issue, a domain having to do with material and financial stability. So in order for a person to be able to maintain human flourishing, it would be very hard. It wouldn't be impossible, but it would be hard to be living in a drug-infested neighborhood where and not having any resources, having being afraid for your life. It would be hard. Not that it wouldn't be possible, because people of faith, have done that for a long time, even in very difficult living circumstances. But this material and financial stability was an aspect that he added. And it's not so much about the absolute level of material and financial stability as it has to do with one's contentment. How content are you with your current level of financial and material stability? And that seemed to be what really counts. So that's what he described as human flourishing. The happiness and well-being, the purpose and meaning in life, the character, the close social relationships, the physical and mental health, and the material and financial stability. And then he also talked about pathways that lead to human flourishing. And those pathways included family, work, education, and religious community activity. So those were the pathways that he felt were the main pathways leading to human flourishing. And he also noted that human flourishing is kind of a goal in life. It's hard to reach this goal during this current life here on Earth, simply because life is hard.
I know.
Even if you do everything right, even if you do everything right, life is still hard. And so, being able to function well and to flourish in difficult circumstances, that really is kind of the name of the game here with regard to human flourishing.
Yeah, it's a kind of human flourishing is the ultimate peak performance of an individual in and out. So I mean, from inner world and outer world. And where does exactly the spirituality is landing in human flourishing project or definition? Is
Well, you know, what he did was he wanted to find something that would be universally applicable for secular and spiritual and religious audiences. So he did not include it in the actual definition that he provided, but he did mention spiritual well-being as being an important component for many people, of human flourishing. He did mention that. And then in his book, A Theology of Health, that was published in 2024 by Notre Dame Press, he talks more about the theological aspects of human flourishing. And so I think he himself feels that the spiritual well-being is a critical component of human flourishing, but he didn't mention it in this scientific article because he wanted, you know, this definition to apply to everybody, both believers and non-believers. But it certainly plays an incredibly important role, that at least he feels that it plays an incredibly important role. And I certainly would second that given the research that we've done on spirituality and health.
I mean, as a certified emotional intelligence coach myself, I believe that a spiritual well-being and emotional well-being is a kind of interrelated together. So I've been studying, I mean, certified, double certified in the field of emotional intelligence and well-being. And eventually, with my experience as an ND near-death experience, I brought by a reality of the experience that my spiritual well-being is completely connected and related to my emotional well-being and vice versa. So it's just these two. And we know how in healthcare, actually, the emotional well-being is important in the field of psychiatry, you know, and that's where the coupling the emotional and the spiritual intelligence together as one of the foundation of our coaching practice in conscious coaching. And do you have a personal story that either religious or a spiritual that how spirituality was the key element of the of your transformational flourishing, either your or someone that you know?
Yeah, you know, back in my early 30s, I was going through a divorce, and then after the divorce, I had some other relationships that broke up, and I was in the middle of my family medicine residency, and so I was under a lot of pressure. I was doing a surgical rotation, which was really hard, and I was experiencing some depression, I think, some depression. And so you know, I had a rotation where part of the surgical rotation was obstetrics and gynecology. So I was on that rotation in St. Louis, and I had a lot of time on my hands because, again, I was a resident. I wasn't a regular OBGYN doctor, so I only got patients that I could take care of occasionally. And so I had a lot of time on my hands. And so what I did was, during that time that I had, where I was sitting in the call room, I had a living Bible, and you know, I just opened it up and started reading it, and it seemed to answer my questions as I was reading it. It just seemed to speak to me, and the words were just like speaking,
Interesting.
jumping out from the page, you know, and it just kind of addressed the concerns that I was having with life and my worries and everything. It just provided calming and peace and a sense of real purpose and meaning in life that caused me to feel like I wanted to give back, having received so much from what I had experienced through reading this living Bible. And then and then I decided at that time to go into geriatrics, the study of older adults, because you know, after you experience kind of a conversion experience, you want to go do something. You want to spread the word, so to speak. And I thought, well, should I travel to a different country, or what should I do? Should I become a missionary? And then I thought, gosh, look at all of these older people in nursing homes throughout the United States. I mean, they're literally right around the corner here. So why don't I focus on, on helping people in nursing homes, older adults, deal with depression and sadness and loss? And so that's what I decided to do. And so I went into geriatric family medicine and then came to Duke University and did a 3-year fellowship in geriatric internal medicine and then switched over to psychiatry, geriatric psychiatry. So that's the area that I've been working in, for now almost 40 years.
Oh, wonderful. So wonderful. I'm glad, and I'm glad you did that. Look at the impact you have made, in the world, not just for the field of psychiatry. And it's really inspiring, your story. I'm holding your book right now when we are speaking, and I just want to read this sentence about the faith that you have mentioned, that whatever you put your faith your faith in will affect every aspect of your life. Faith involves placing your hope and trust in something. And I guess that's a living example, of a person who have put his faith, in what he's doing in order to make an impact and difference. And do you want to tell us about your book or books? So the one that I have in my hand is Nothing More Important, but also the bigger book that you have written also in about the Handbook of the Religion.
Sure. The one you have in your hand, Nothing More Important, that's a good one. That only costs about $8.
I
So
love it. I love it.
it's within the realm of most people's financial budget. They can afford an
Yeah.
$8 book. But what this book does, it talks about, it kind of summarizes a lot of the research, but also talks about faith and how you develop faith, how do you develop your own personal faith and the role that trauma and loss plays in people developing a personal faith. And how do you maintain your faith over time? Because it's very fragile, unless you practice your faith, it can easily go away. And so you have to maintain it. And then I talk about my personal story with regard to my wife and our marriage. And how, over 40 years, that's been a very challenging experience for both of us. And she talks about her experiences, being the wife of a hardcore research scientist who spends, 70 hours a week, on his work. And so, and then we talk about more recent years as our faith has kept us together and has, guided and led us. Over the years and in particular now where we're our best friends right now, which is a good thing, a wonderful thing. And so we do a lot of different seminars for people where we actually have a seminar coming up August the 2nd where we will be doing 8 hours on flourishing in marriage. And so that's something we're doing. And then of course, the Handbook of Religion and Health, the third edition that just came out last year, which has all of the research in it that shows the connection between religious faith and health, all aspects of health. It has 34 chapters. It's over 1,000 pages. It is
Wow.
very costly, though. It's $200. It's published by Oxford University Press. And so the Nothing More Important, the book about faith, that one kind of summarizes the main message of the $200 Handbook of Religion and Health.
Yeah,
But
definitely is a good start just to turn on your spiritual engine.
yes, exactly,
Yeah,
exactly.
and I love it that you also mentioned the 15 barriers to the faith and the power of praying, also in and I call it the mini living Bible. So for anyone that who want to start, knowing more about the spirituality and faith, either they are Christian or not. So this has been a really an eye-opening, introduction and resource for me as well.
Oh,
So
that's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Dr. Koing, Harold. So, at the end, do you have anything on the closing to let our audience know? And, or if you just want to refer to your website, or I mean, any resources, contact information, how they can read and know more about you, and anything else in the closing?
Yes, sure, Dr. KK. We have a website. It's the Center for Spirituality, Theology, and Health at Duke University, and it's got lots of resources that you can turn to. It's got our workshops that we're holding. It has various tools that you can use. You can sign up for our e-newsletter there as well, which comes out every month. It's for free and it reviews the latest research in the field and the various activities. So I think the website would be a great place for anybody who wants to know more about this to go to. I think we covered it pretty good, Dr. KK.
Yes, we did. And I'll just almost, 40 years of your experience in 30 minutes, in less than 40 minutes. So.
Yes, we covered a lot of ground in.
Yeah, we did. So hopefully, I mean, our audience will just gonna enjoy it and be enlightened and inspired by your work and yourself as well as I did. And I truly appreciate you being here and the gift of your wisdom and as I mentioned, being a light worker and lightening up the world of spirituality for everyone who is listening to this podcast or know you.
Thank you, Dr. KK. It's just so exciting to be able to be on your program and to be able to, maybe contribute in some way to what you're trying to do, which is a great thing, and in terms of helping people live a more flourishing life. So thank you, Dr. KK.
I do appreciate you and we are grateful for you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Goodbye to our listeners and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.